We're back to the Total Celebrity Show on the Total Education Network. Again, TotalTutor.net for more information. Twitter, Total Tutor, Neil S. Haley. Facebook, LinkedIn, Neil Haley. Instagram, Total Tutor. Pinterest, Neil Haley. Google Plus, Neil Haley. And this is the Super Bowl edition. Very interesting. Last year, I interviewed Norm Johnson, and you know, I think of him as a Steeler. He thinks of himself as a Seahawk. I know LaVon played 1 year with the Seahawks, but I consider him a super Steeler. I consider him black and gold, and I cannot wait to hear his story. And when I get an opportunity to interview a Steeler, so I'm excited to welcome the program. This man is amazing, LaVon Kirkland. Let's kind of go right quick through. Two-time All-Pro. He was AFC champion and also part of the 1990s All-Decade, NFL All-Decade team. Super Steeler, LaVon Kirkland. LaVon, thanks for calling. How are you?
Hey, man. Thanks for having me.
And it's awesome to be here for you to be on the show. And when I look and read all through your bio and specific things, I could see that one thing that is very important to you is education, because you see specifically throughout your life and now coaching and stuff that teaching is an important thing in education, isn't it, for you?
No question. You know, at the core of me, I am a helper and I am an encourager. I'm a guy that's going to try to help the next person get to the next level through my experiences and things that I have gone through. So being myself, a person who actually went back to get their education, now almost finishing my grad degree, you know, I feel like it's very important. I come from people who, you know, my father didn't get a chance to finish his education. He instilled in us how important it was. And, you know, you want to be a great example, you know, to your children, to also athletes that are coming up in the ranks. So, you know, I feel like you can't really advance in this world if you don't have the education, you know, formal education and also educating yourself.
And I think that it's so important, that education, even if you make a ton of money in the NFL, especially our athletes today in the NFL, even compared to when you played, that, you know, they have a good retirement going and they have a lot of money, meaning they're made a lot of money in their career, but such a short period of time. If you don't have that head on your shoulders, if you don't have that education, there are so many people in the water ready to take your money, swoop in, grab it, do whatever they can, manipulate you. But by being educated, you understand specifically what you're going to deal with after football. And that's the key component, I think, looking at education and how important it is for athletes to say it's not just the sport. You got to hit the books too, for sure.
Well, I mean, I think, you know, you can be a player who had a 12-year career, but what else can you do after you finish playing football? I mean, if you don't have a degree, I mean, most times you won't be able to even coach a high school team. And even if you play a long time, you're still a young man and you're going to want something to do. You don't want to get up in the morning and be able to say, I want to do this. I tried to stay retired, you know, after I played for like, it worked for like 5 months. And then I was like, okay, I'm glad myself, praise that to do something. So I think, you know, it just helps you keep going. It keeps you current in the world stack, you know. It's fine you have a lot of money, you can sit on it, but, you know, things happen. 2008, market crashed. So there are things that happen. So you have to be able to, I think, be flexible enough. And, you know, education just really gives you versatility. So, you know, that's something that I always preach when I'm coaching my kids in college and try to get them you know, to see the bigger picture, you know, really to see, you know, I tell them to look at me as a future them. Somebody who's already been in the future is coming back to advise them on, you know, what to look for. So, you know, I always feel like, you know, my passion is helping others and helping them get to the next level.
It, definitely. And that's the most important thing, helping them get to the next level in your teaching. So when you were growing up, you said education was important to you. Did you always think you're going to be a professional football player and succeed at a high level in football? Was that the sport, especially a big guy like yourself? Yeah.
You know, honestly, I always did. You know, I was 11 years old when I kind of was in the backyard and just told myself and really put it out there that I was going to play, you know, I was going to play pro ball. And at that moment, I truly believed it. There's no doubt in my mind that I was going to play pro ball. And even though it was a very young age, you know, there were key things that happened to me that made me, that helped me to really cultivate my talent and cultivate the gift that God gave me. And, you know, it's just people speaking that positive word. And I took that and I ran with it, you know. And, you know, that's usually a lot of times how it happens, you know. When you're having a dream, people will try to cut it down, but you just have to believe in it so much that there can't be any doubt that it's going to happen for you. And, you know, I was 11 years old, man. You know, I believed it. And if you were to ask anybody outside of me if that was going to happen, they probably would have serious doubts. That's why I didn't tell anybody. So, you know, kind of, you know, I guess I was wise enough to understand that part of it. And it just kept going in and going in. And like I said, there were key things that happened that helped me to compel to be a professional footballer.
So, and that's interesting, and we'll go into definitely that story. And looking back, your family, did they support you in that dream throughout? Like playing football, you were playing football in you know, elementary school, or I guess middle school slash high school, different times. Was there that support there for athletics as well? Saying, you know what, we think you're going to definitely be something, but we also see the books are important, but we're going to support you any way we can so that you can go after your dream.
You know, it was different for me. It wasn't quite that way. I had great parents. You know, like, they didn't really understand. You know, most of my parents didn't finish high school. They didn't quite get that, you know, that, you know, this will be a vehicle for me to go into college and to go into the NFL. They were strict about the books. You know, they kind of took football as this, okay, it's something he does. And my father was, you know, he was a minister. He had his own barbershop, and he was a custodian, so he worked all the time. So my parents really weren't the ones that were like, okay, you can do it. But they were definitely encouraging. You know, they were definitely saying you can do anything you want to do. But they kind of, as far as the football aspect of it, they were kind of laid back on it. You know, they didn't quite understand what it could do for me. So I think they were definitely very proud, and they were encouraging, but they weren't really over the top, overbearing. And actually, that helped out. That helped me out. I mean, to be able to do something I love, and they allowed me to do that. So, you know, I'm really thankful for them, but it wasn't really, you know, like that a boy or whatever. And I think that approach actually kept me a little humble going into college and going into the NFL.
So I see what you're saying. It's like, yeah, this is what you do. The books are important. There are hardworking people, a minister. So they never thought, okay, NFL, this is our meal ticket or anything like that. This is going to be a situation. You're going to do this, play the sport, but you're just playing it. It's not a big thing in our lives, meaning your family's life, that what LaVon's doing on the field is going to be the most important thing. It's what LaVon's doing in the classroom. It's what LaVon's doing with his faith that's going to be the most important thing your father saw and your mom, right? It sounds like it.
Yeah, you give me a perfect example. When I went into the ninth grade, and the ninth grade is a very transitional period for a boy, you know, going from junior high to high school. So when that happened, I really did do a good job my ninth grade year. And that was really the only year that, you know, my grades kind of dropped a little bit. And I played JV football that year. But my father wouldn't, you know, he wouldn't allow me to play any other sport. I ended up in, you know, 10th grade, 9th grade, and 12th grade playing three sports, football, basketball, and I ran track. But I remember that year after the football season of my 9th grade year, my grades wasn't up to par, and he set me out. So he was my compliance officer before you even heard of compliance officers. So he wouldn't let me play because of my grades, and, you know, they were suffering. So, you know, I got upset, but I realized, you know, it was my fault, my responsibility. I had no excuses. Once I claimed responsibility, you know, I went on to do very well and, you know, end up, you know, doing the things I did in high school that enabled me to go on to Clemson University.
So I'm, as you said, your family is so proud of you to get the opportunity to go on to college. So you go to Clemson University, and you were definitely and thought student athlete was very important once you entered Clemson, correct? That's one thing that I think that puts your head on your shoulders. You weren't saying, okay, straight to the NFL. It was a dream of yours, but you knew student athlete's going to be important when I enter Clemson.
Well, you know, when I went to Clemson, I knew I went to Clemson for a purpose. My dream was to go to the NFL, but if I didn't do what I had to do in the classroom, then there was no way I was going to reach that goal anyway, you know. So I realized the value of it, you know, being a student athlete. I think the issue back then for a lot of athletes that it wasn't really emphasized, so you kind of had to emphasize it for yourself about graduating, because everybody wants to go to the NFL. Everybody really believes they will. You know, there are some things that happen that most people don't get to go. I was very fortunate to, you know, to go to school, to get my education, and also play in the NFL. So I consider myself very blessed in what I do. But what I realized is that, you know, every student has got to make up their mind. Every athlete's got to make up their mind that they want to graduate, you know. You can get help, you can get assistance, and that's great. But you have to look at yourself and say, okay, this is what I'm going to do. And that's the kind of person I was, and, you know, that's what happened.
Yeah, you definitely were that kind of person. So you go on, and when did the scouts and did your coaches know that you're going to play in the next level? Because, again, we know the percentage of players that play college football, and I know you, and definitely I know that you were involved in a lot of the training and different things with high school football players and different things like that. So you have that those conversations with them as well. That, you know, not many of the percent that go on to college play in the NFL. So when did you knew that, you know, this is going to happen, this is a good opportunity? You said there was a couple things that went your way that really helped you catapult you to the NFL. Am I correct?
Yeah, well, you know, a lot of times I say, you know, it's also a belief in yourself. But I think what I really thought it was going to happen was probably after my sophomore year, we played the West Virginia Mountaineers and Major Harris in a bowl game. And I had I ended up winning the MVP of that game, which, you know, defense, that's usually not heard of.
Right.
So I think once I got that, and then I also, again, I always got encouragement, you know, in some form or fashion, that I took those words and I said, okay, and I ran with it. You know, I had a coach, Miles Aldridge, that, you know, really felt like I would make a really good inside backfield. I played outside in Clemson. He thought, like, well, you go to the next level, you're going to play inside backfield, you know. And my coaches would say that certain scouts say certain things. And, you know, I was so close that I was determined to take it to that next level. So, you know, the game of football, although it was, you know, fun, it was, you know, for me, it was business too, because I was trying to get to that level. And I knew that was going to be a way for me to kind of fulfill a dream. And not only that, but to take care of my parents too.
So the process, you finished up, played at Clemson, then the draft. What round were you picked in? Were you a high draft pick, or tell us about that process? Because that's the...
I wasn't a first round pick, but the funny thing happened was I the team that interviewed me was the Pittsburgh Steelers, and they flew me up to talk to them. And really, honestly, that was the only team I wanted to play for.
That's
I wanted
great to
get
drafted
by the Pittsburgh Steelers. And, you know, even though I wasn't a big fan of the Steelers growing up, but they showed me so much love that I felt like that was the place for me. So my draft story was, you know, the first round had passed. And I wasn't sure I was going to be picked in the first round, even though talent-wise, I knew I was good enough to be picked in the first round. But that's neither here nor there. What happened was, and this is kind of a funny story, Pittsburgh was coming out. They had the 38th pick. I was at my sister's home, and I went to the bathroom. I looked in the mirror, and I'm like, they're going to pick me. They're going to pick me. I was so confident, I went to the phone, and I sat at the kitchen table by the phone, and the phone rang. It was the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Wow.
And they were just like, hey, welcome to the Black and Gold. But I think I put it out there in the atmosphere that I was going to, they were going to pick me. And I believed it so much, I sat by the phone.
Right. Wow.
So it was kind of weird. It really was. It's kind of weird that I put that out there in the air and, you know, the universe kind of brought it back to me.
Yeah. So you, one thing of the Steelers I've talked to, the one major thing is the Roonies. This is what makes this organization so special. And we'll talk about your work in the community as well as we can check out your Facebook and different things, or people could view. You do some tremendous things in the community still. I'm sure you've learned that from the Roonies, but that family atmosphere, you said that they have love. It starts with the Roonies, doesn't it? For sure. With the Steelers.
Yeah, there's no question. I think what they do that's been, I know that people kind of maybe use that practice now, but I thought what they did was they really developed relationships where Mr. Rooney would come in, you know, every day, he would walk around, talk to the players, and he knew who you were. And I don't care what business you're running, you know, whether you're a teacher or whatever, or you're a football coach, but I realized one of the most important things is people and creating a relationship with those people. And that's what they did. That's why they're so welcome in the community, not because they're the Pittsburgh Steelers, because they actually go out, do some outreach, touch the people. And that's what you got to do. You know, as a coach, one of the things that I do is I greet all the players. You know, when they warm up, I greet them. And, you know, we got to a point where I was doing secret handshakes with the guys. And when they know that you really care about them, they will do whatever they need to do for you. You know, another prime example of that was, you know, this big, you know, Dick LeBeau. Dick LeBeau cares so much about you as a human being.
Yes.
That you were willing to pay the price for him. You didn't want to let him down. And I think that's what the Steelers organization does. Even though, you know, it's a business and they do hate guys, I would say 95% of the guys that play for Pittsburgh are proud Steelers at heart. They feel like, you know, they're a part of the Steelers. And, you know, we always say once, you know, once a Steeler, always a Steeler. But I think it's because the Rooney family did a good job of developing relationships.
I completely agree. And I got to speak to Art Rooney the second about it, and it was a tremendous interview to say the least about specifically the organization and what they do. So you're a Steeler, you're able to go and be part of this amazing organization. You get on the field, the crowd is crazy, the stadium is just, they're just crazy about their Steelers. When you started to play at a high level, you just felt that you were a part of that Black and Gold, right? When you're playing at a high level and you were starting and you were one of the best players, team MVP for 2 years, and we don't hear a lot of times a defensive player, you really were part of that super Steeler team that never won the Super Bowl, but really achieved at a high level for sure.
Oh, there's no question. I mean, the great thing about being a Steeler was that, you know, you felt like a part of it, you know. And I really believe sports is usually a microcosm of the society that you're in. So if you look at the city of Pittsburgh and the people that live in Western Pennsylvania, very hard workers, blue-collar, down-to-earth people, salt of the earth. And that football team, I felt really more so than most teams represented that Western Pennsylvania area. And playing defense even more so. You really felt like you were a part of the community because you played for the Steelers. And, you know, you just were attached to it. So you out of the field. You know, you did more than represent yourself and your family, but you represented them.
you know, it was a reflection of them. So it was truly exciting, and especially when you go to a place like that where there's a rich tradition, you know, already 4 Super Bowls. We were striving at the time to bring back the Steelers pride. I thought that those 90s teams did a great deal for the Steelers. Even though we didn't win a Super Bowl, I think we brought, you know, the play back, you know, the hard-nosed defense, the running game, the toughness that was, you know, that, you know, you can think about the 80s, you know, the team was not quite there. I think we kind of was the team that kind of built, you know, those teams for the 2000s. I think we, you know, we left behind a great legacy, and we were very close to winning the Super Bowl. So,
yes,
you know, when you play for the Steelers, man, it's different. It's different than playing for any other team.
You look at those 90s, there's some disappointments in the 90s for sure, of times where you really thought, this is it for the Steelers. We're going to be back like we were in the 70s, and it took till the 2000s to truly do that. Looking back at playing in a Super Bowl, especially when we're talking about Super Bowl on Sunday, losing that Super Bowl, how long did it take you to get over that, LeVon, losing a Super Bowl? You know,
I don't know if you ever really get over it.
I was telling that to Ernest, especially, you know, he talking about the fumble, then winning the Super Bowl after that fact. So you never really get over it. So it's something that eats at you, or would you say it's just something that's it's a disappointment to think about that game?
Well, it's a disappointment to lose it. You're also grateful that you got a chance to play it because it's the only game in town. The only game that really matters. The whole country is watching. You know, different countries are watching. You're on display. You're the only one on display. And you're going to make history one way or the other. So it was disappointing to lose, but for me, individually, it was a great game for me because going into that season, we had a great linebacker core. In a lot of ways in that season, you know, I kind of felt like I was like the fourth guy, you know, the one that wasn't, you know, getting the notice. Even though you go back and you were asked on the people, I was a significant part of that team, but really not kind of getting the media publicity that the other three were getting at the time. That was a learning year for me because what I ended up doing that year, halfway through the season, I told myself that I was just going to play to win. I didn't care about notoriety. I didn't care about being in the spotlight. I was just going to play for us to win. I didn't care how we were going to win. And, you know, my game from that point changed. I started playing better and better and better because, you know, at one point I was thinking a little selfishly. And then when I totally gave it up, when I totally said, you know what, I want to play for the team. And sometimes it's like when you're in life and you just like, I'm just going to trust in God.
Yes. Yes.
I was going to trust in God. And I honestly believe that year, that was kind of me, like, I'm just going to trust in the team. I'm going to trust in winning, and I'm going to do my part to win. And from that half point until the playoffs, I had a significant, you know, I really played well. I did in the Super Bowl. I think that's when maybe others started to notice me as a player, you know. People in Pittsburgh, my team, they knew, you know, and, you know, the other teams knew. But I think on a national point, people saw, you know, how good a player I was.
So basically, you have a great career with the Steelers after the loss to the Super Bowl, and we're going to talk a little bit about life after football in the finishing up this interview. Then you played 1 year at the Seahawks, so we'll have to ask you what you think of what's going to happen in the Super Bowl on Sunday. And your career's over, life after football. You had an amazing career, which I mentioned before at the your kind of career is a little different in a lot of ways. I mean, you went into going to coaching, but you went into a different level of coaching than some that might just go right to the pros, right? You know, coach right straight from the pros after your NFL career is over. But you went to high school. What is the reasoning of going to back to your roots in South Carolina and coach in the on that level as a linebacker?
Well, I think if you're going to be a really good coach, high school is definitely a starting point because it puts you on a level where, you know, instead of going to a big school or the pros where you got a support staff and things are done for you, in a high school level, you have to do everything. You have to, you have to wash the equipment. You have to make sure the boys are working out, set up practice schedule, set up games. You have to do it all. And I think, you know, you have to maybe wash out the equipment room, wash out the bathroom. You put back into the ground roots. And not only that, you don't have the athletes in this sport. You know, you just don't have, you're lucky to have five really good athletes, you know? So basically, you're going to have to work with guys who are just not really that talented. So it tests your patience. It also makes you kind of do things from the ground up. You know, you have to teach guys how to actually run. So some people don't know how to run. You know, you have to teach them how to do push-ups, how to lift weights. So it's a process that's just humbling. I remember just driving the bus to different places because you had to drive the bus. So high school kind of, I think it helps you kind of understand what it takes. It makes you patient. It makes you more detail oriented, and you understand. I mean, I think you kind of understand the game. You have to really teach the game. So I like high school for that. I love the experience and the kids. I think the kids really get a lot, and you really trust their lives. Definitely. in a great way. So, you know, coaching high school was a lot of fun.
So you're coaching high school. You learn to get really to be a teacher of the game. You get to teach the game to these kids, not just a situation where, you know, we're going over things in college. It's a teaching process, but this is like a beginning phase. Some of them only played 2 or 3 years. So you're getting, and you got kids that are never going to play in college. So you're learning specifically how to take somebody with sometimes not much talent and have them achieve and teach them about the game of life and about how important it is to go into the classroom and do well. And you're that role model for sure. So then basically through the process, then you coach and you have a head coaching job at Shannon Forest Christian School in Greenville, South Carolina. Then finally, you are now a linebackers coach at Florida A&M University. What made you want to now finally make the transition to college from the high school ranks as a coach?
Well, I think most people, you know, I'm a big dreamer, to be honest with you. And I just dream really big. And I wanted to, you know, even if I have to go through a process of going to the next level, I wanted to, you know, go there. And you want to pay your, you know, you're trying to also maybe pay your dues. Not that, you know, I shouldn't coach right away, but I think it, like, every year you should be growing as a coach, growing as an individual, growing as a person, a family man, whatever. And that's what's going to happen. I mean, you get on that level, the high school level, and then you're growing as a coach. You know, you're getting better as a coach. And that's why I kind of, you know, like the progression. I went from high school now to college and, you know, at some point in time to the NFL.
And I see that. And that's an interesting one because we have seen the successful coaches that went first to high school, then to college, and then to the NFL. And we've heard about them. We've heard about specific things or even great college coaches, as Earl Bruce did that process. I think Woody Hayes, a lot of different, the greatest coaches of all time, have coached all the ranks for sure, and didn't just start at, you know, right in the professional ranks. Some have and some haven't. Now, LaVon, one thing is, I've been watching your Facebook. You do a lot of great charity work. Can you tell me a little bit about what's going on in your charity work and how you help out in specific ways for organizations and stuff and charities?
Well, one of the ones that I'm really focusing on now is lung cancer. I lost my wife about a year ago to lung cancer. And, it, you know, it was a devastating thing because, you know, she was very young, 36 at the time when she got it. And she passed away at the age of 41. My wife was an incredible person where, you know, very athletic, very smart. She was the local anchor, weather anchor in Greenville, South Carolina. She was also a doctor of chiropractic. So you talk about wonderful athletic. She ran track in college. You know, she even had, like, you know, a chance to go to West Point. I mean, the girl was, the woman was brilliant. And, you know, she didn't have any symptoms or anything. She didn't smoke. And she developed lung cancer, which we were all shocked by because normally we associate lung cancer with smokers.
Yes.
And this wasn't the case. And matter of fact, a lot of time in women is not the case. You know, most women, you know, they're non-smokers. And, you know, lung cancer is kind of like that, the ugly cancer where, you know, you talk about breast cancer, you know, you got all the support, everybody's wearing pink, it's a feel-good thing, it's a lot of women, but, you know, lung cancer is one of the biggest killers of women.
Yes. I did not know that.
Everybody gets kind of scared because, you know, it's lung cancer. But what we, and joining along with Chris Drapp, who also played the NFL for a number of years.
I've interviewed Chris, and he told me the story, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, his wife also died of lung cancer. And both their names were Keisha. And I went to school with his wife back at Clemson. And she passed. My wife fought it for 5 years. You know, his wife didn't last very long, maybe like a year. And, you know, he kind of jumped right into it, you know, but I was still going through, you know, she was still sick at the time. He kind of started doing the team draft. And, you know, when someone passes away, there is an adjustment period. You're grieving. It's tough. It's hard. And, you know, you go through that period. And I got to a point where I wanted to honor my wife, and I wanted to do something. So we did this, and it was tremendous. It really was. I mean, I called Chris up, and, you know, we communicated. And I said, "Hey, man, I need you." And then I told him, "Whatever you need from me, let me know." And so he invited me to the program. Pro Bowl, we had these two guys, Don and Rick, and they were survivors, you know. Okay. And what you got to show is hope, mm-hmm. you know. And we took them to the practices, and we took them out on the field. And these guys had a tremendous time. And it was really good. It was really healing for myself, you know, to do something like that. So, you know, I'm sure that would be something that I will always be involved in. Hopefully take it to a higher level than right now. But to be a part of something like that was tremendous for me. And, you know, it's something that it's a testimony, kind of, I think, what. And one of these days I will write a book about this whole experience because I think it's something that everybody can relate to.
Yes.
Having someone who's ill or they know somebody. It's not about this is what I did in my career. I honestly think those books are kind of boring. I mean, who cares?
Yes. Really? No, it's about the story, and this is what I try to do on my radio shows, tell stories. Yeah. Not this, you know, just about the career, but everything, the true person that we found out about LeVon, and to hear about something like this, I had no idea, and it's not really well-known in Wikipedia, but I interviewed Chris Draft, and his story,
tremendous story that he had. Yeah. Tremendous story. Well, we share a similar story. And, it was devastating for me. I have a little girl. And I mean, to adjust to that, yes, where you're not only just a father now, you're like the everything.
Everything, yeah.
And you're trying to adjust. And that's real. Real.
So truly.
I think that, you know, and so I think it's, you know, I look at our situation, it's like, sometimes you wonder why you go through those kind of situations. But I think I know why I'm going through it. Not only to get close to God, but also to, have a great story behind it that shows people hope and, you know, how you can move on. How a lot of times you're stronger than what you think you are.
Yes.
And, you know, that's what, you know, I want to give back to others. So that was one of the reasons I'm doing it. That's why we kind of posted some pictures. Trust me, I didn't take it as much as Chris did. He took probably hundreds of pictures, but, you know, I wanted to show on my Facebook, you know, this is what we're doing. And, you know, you'll hear a whole lot more from me and what I'm doing. You're going to hear a whole lot. So, but I wanted to talk about my wife and how wonderful she was. I wanted to talk about going through a point like this. And, you know, I think as men sometimes, man, we take it hard, you know, we take loss hard, you know, it's kind of funny because we're supposed to be in this image of very strong men, but, you know, we're also very vulnerable. And I think, you know, going through this kind of showed me the different sides of myself. And, you know, I miss her every day, but, you know, I trust she's in a better place, and I trust God to kind of direct me in what I'm doing. So, you know, I want to tell that story, reach out and tell people, you know, about Dr. Keisha Kirkland and what she did and how she fought very badly and how it has to be a little bit more awareness about lung cancer and what it can do.
Definitely. Oh my. So I see after your coaching career is over, a foundation, or before that, but I think also teaming up with what Chris Draft's doing in his foundation is tremendous to really bring that awareness. Now, LeVon, prediction now, Super Bowl to finish up. Now, you're looking at specifically, you played for Seattle. I wonder, and you definitely consider yourself a Steeler, which I have a feeling. I know that's the fact. But you played 1 year with the Seahawks. Who do you think is going to win on Sunday?
I think it's going to be I really believe it's going to be a very good game. I don't see it being a game where it's going to get out of hand. Of course, it could get out of hand, but I don't see that. I think these teams are very evenly matched. You look at defense. Seattle has a really good secondary, but also New England. I think that's both of the defenses, that's their strong point. You look at the quarterbacks, definitely give a little bit of edge to Tom Brady because of his history, what he can do. I think, you know, he has some very capable wide receivers. I think, though, if you look at it, I love Seattle's running game. I love what Russell Wilson can do as far as making plays with his feet. So, although it's going to be a close one, I think Seattle's going to do it.
Okay, and do you have memories of the 1 year you played Seattle and the fans of Seattle? Would you say you're pulling for them because you played 1 year there?
Seattle actually is a pretty cool place. I actually like Seattle, despite the rain. There's some fond memories. I felt like I was a great leader for those guys. I think our defense got better that year because when I went there, it was like defense was last. So I felt like we got better as defense. We had a little bit more moxie about us than when I first went there. So there's some, there's some really good friends there. The staff was good to me. Me and Coach Holman got along very well. And, I think I showed them, you can have fun and be about playing football. So it was a good time for me. It really was.
Okay. All right, LaVon, is there a best place to find any information on you? I know I found you on LinkedIn and Facebook, and those are personal, but is there a place where people can find info on you, or is it best to wiki you? What do you think for the information about you?
I'm on Facebook, and I also have a coaches page, too. I need to probably do Twitter and all that stuff, but those are basically the best place. I mean, go online and see what I'm on Facebook. I've had conversations with people, total strangers. So it's a good thing. So, Facebook is probably the best way to catch up with.
All right. Well, fantastic. Best of luck to you. And I'll be praying for you, especially with the loss of a year ago. And hopefully we can continue to bring awareness of lung cancer and for people to really check themselves out and make sure that they go to the doctors regularly. And hopefully we can eliminate that disease at one point in time. So thanks again for calling, LaVon.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Take care, man. Okay. Bye-bye. You're listening to the Total Celebrity Show, and we'll be back in just a moment.